TalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
With your host.
And I already mentioned this, but I think we should have come up with a cool tag team name by now, but you've been turning a lot of things down. You've been turning down a lot of things. You turned down Sambros.
I've been open to everything.
You turned down Ska Madness. Yeah, I know you said you like the Beef Eaters. I told you I don't drink gin, all right?
Yeah, first of all, you already know our team name tonight is the Rough Riders.
Told you the Rough Riders doesn't work. It doesn't. It's too sexual.
You're such a dork.
Take your stupid hat off and let's go beat these guys, all right?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. If you are joining us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, hello! Thank you so much for listening to us tonight. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me per the norm is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
You are such a troll. Such a damn troll. You know what? You got some splaining to do.
I have some splaining to do?
You have some splaining to do.
I'll do the explaining. As you can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Linz Ward, come to Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, at Rack Radio Show.
He can't even do com. His plugs right.
Well, I'm used to saying Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesday, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs.
I mean, if you're going to do it right.
It just rolls off the tongue, you know? It's a thing. It's autopilot. That's a thing. And no one, if you did not hear the first 3 minutes of the show before the show, you'll not get what we just did.
Yeah, you will not get the reference at all. So you have to tune in for the tasteful side boob to get the references at the top of the show.
Exactly. So make sure you listen live besides listening on podcast.
Yes.
But we want you to listen to a podcast tomorrow, though.
We do, because, well, like we said in the tasteful side boob of the, you know, pre-show to The Rack, well, we have some exciting news because we told you guys it's a full show. We've got a lot going on. So much, in fact, that, well, we had to do something special.
We did. We had to do something very special. Our cup was running over.
Yes, our cup runneth over, and while we certainly didn't want to bump her or simply just put her at the end of the show, oh no, she's so big we had to give her her own show.
Mm-hmm.
And we are pleased and proud and excited to announce that tomorrow, right? Tomorrow?
Available tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon. Want to make sure, you know, don't tax the producer. That... We will be doing a Rack Extra with the one, the only, the amazing Barbie Blank, a.k.a. Kelly Kelly. She's one of the stars of WAGS, which has its season premiere this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, on E! So y'all, tell your friends, download, listen to it. We had a wonderful time talking to her. Awesome person. Definitely, definitely check it out. She gives a lot of insight into the show, and we even got her to talk a little wrestling. which is always fun.
It's a lot of fun. Check it out tomorrow afternoon, Rock Radio Show, wildtalkradio.com. So there you go for that one. That's big news. We teased it on Monday that we would have a guest, and well, that's the guest.
That's the guest. So yes, like I said, we have a lot going on tonight. A lot of news. We have Money in the Bank. We have NXT, so we're not going to waste any more time. We're just going to jump right into it. But to our friends over, once again, at Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, because I think we're talking a little TNA tonight as well. And we have three really huge stories this week. We're going to lead with at least what we feel is the biggest. And, you know, we came into his music. He is the guy. He is the former WWE champion. And, well, he is suspended for 30 days. That's right. Been living under a rock and you haven't been paying attention. It was announced on Tuesday that former WWE champion Roman Reigns was suspended for violations of WWE's wellness policy. He will be out for the next 30 days. But fortunately for him, he will be back in time for Battleground.
Which we'll get into here in a moment. Roman Reigns quickly went onto Twitter and said, "I apologize to my family, friends, and fans for my mistake in violating WWE's wellness policy. No excuses. I own it."
Very classy.
Very classy. Very proper to come out and state, okay, I screwed up, and I'm taking my punishment. Sort of unlike other people who went, "I didn't do anything wrong," wags finger at WWE and shows doctor notes.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's so. Roman Reigns did the stand-up thing and admitted his fault. He screwed up. There's been a lot of questions on what did Roman Reigns do. I can clear this one up, because I got this one a lot from people. It was not about weed.
Yeah. Nobody knows what he got suspended for. It has not been announced. It will probably not be announced unless somebody lets it slip. It was not for recreational drugs. A lot of people, I think that's all but been confirmed.
Well, it's simply confirmed because if you get popped for weed, it's $2,500.
First go round.
No.
And then they suspend you.
No suspension. It's just $2,500 fines.
Oh, okay. Well, we know it wasn't that.
It was not that.
But yeah, it's a lot. There are a lot of rumors circulating around this, whether it was drugs, whether it was steroids, whether it was, you know, even to the point that it was he had a concussion and he refused to stop the match and he kept going. And so they suspended him for that. I don't think that's true.
Not true in one bit.
So just kind of clean up some mess that's coming around this. There's another rumor circulating WWE knew for about 20 days. That's not the case at all. WWE found out sometime at the end of last week or over the weekend Reigns was going to be suspended. So they found out right before the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And they made the decision, which I think they had already made the decision to take the title off Reigns. But
no one knows for sure on that one.
No one knows for sure on that one. But given the way that the finish was at Money in the Bank, which we'll get into, it's safe to say that that probably did not hurt their decision at all.
No, it made them think, oh, thank God we took the belt off him since we have to suspend him.
Yeah, you don't want your sitting champion, the guy that you're basically making the next face of your company, to get popped for a drug violation. It's bad enough, or I shouldn't say drug, wellness policy, excuse me, wellness policy violation as a champion.
It is drugs. It's not what you think of drugs when you think of hard drugs, but it is a drug. Performance enhancing supplement is a drug. It's what they consider a drug.
It's a banned substance is what it really is.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what the substance was. It could be it was, you know, performance enhancing. Very much doubt it was any kind of real hard drugs. You know, obviously Roman's been working a really, really tough schedule. He's been making a lot of appearances. He's been the face of the company. He's basically stepped into John Cena's shoes. And he took something, or he was taking something, to help him get through that. And nobody can fault him for that. Like, that's the thing, is it's like, we all do what we can to get through, and that's all we can do.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a little disappointed in him, just because it's like, well, you know, you really shouldn't have done that, because to me it's like, that was, it was stupid. And I think he understands it was stupid, because it's like, dude, you're better than that.
Oh, he's a lot better than that, and he realized he screwed up. And that's the problem. He screwed up, and there's a lot of people who want to come out and defend him, which by all means, that's great. But he screwed up.
But he's human.
He's human. I was telling Lindsay the other day, you look at Shawn Michaels back in 1996. He became WWE champion. And, well, he fell down a really bad rabbit hole. The pressures got to him. He lost his smile at one point, mainly because he got addicted to somas. And that changed his life completely for like 3 or 4 years before he found the Jesus.
Yes. And he was at one point almost dead from painkillers because he was just taking so many.
Yes.
Scott Hall is another example. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of others out there that we know about that all got addicted and either got cleaned up or they didn't. And it's not saying that Roman is going to do that by any stretch of the imagination, but it's like, we all get through in different ways. Could be he was sore, it could be he just needed to recover a little faster, could be he just maybe wanted to look a little better. Nobody really knows what he took, but he took some kind of supplement. Keep in mind that includes herbal too. Let's all remember, Rey Mysterio got suspended for herbal supplements, supposedly.
Supposedly. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something of they test for very particular substances. So it's like, even if you're taking just something herbal and the particular substance pops up, you will get suspended for it. They do not play with that policy at all because they're a publicly traded company. And if it comes out that, oh, well, you know, yeah, they drug test, but certain individuals get protected because they're top stars. Well, then that just makes the whole program a joke when it's not meant to be.
Right, and it's very clear that they're taking their wellness policy very seriously because, you know, you look at guys and everyone thinks, oh, it's a joke. They don't, you know, suspend anyone. You know, the last person that got suspended on their wellness was Hornswoggle. So people kept mocking, you know, what it was. And then you look at it, it's like, oh, it's Roman Reigns got suspended. That legitimizes this wellness policy. Because guess what? It was everywhere. SportsCenter, SI, ESPN.com, Fox Sports, NBC Yahoo. Sports, Yahoo. Everyone had it.
Yeah, I mean, it went everywhere. They take it very, very seriously. Let's also remember, Randy Orton has been suspended. Edge has been suspended. Rey Mysterio has been suspended. A lot of top stars have been caught by the wellness policy. Actually, I would say more top stars than non-top stars have been caught by the wellness policy. Because I think there is a certain level of pressure to stay on top. And that's when you fall into that trap of you start taking something. Now, to Edge's defense, he was a part of a drug scandal for steroids that he was taking while he was recovering from neck surgery. But they suspended him anyway because it fell under the drug policy. But, you know, Randy Orton, they've gotten him twice.
So, many think he got three times. But he got one washed away. He did some schooling or whatever to get rid of one of his suspensions before they instituted the way the policy is now. I think you could still get rid of it. I think there's a way. I think you may have to go rehab or whatever for it, but that's beside the point. I think Connor may be looking into it. By the way, Connor has returned.
Yes, Connor has returned. Welcome back to Connor. He's back from his 60-day suspension. So, yay.
That just gets one off the news items.
Since we're sitting here talking about it, and we're talking about people, you know, getting suspended for drug policies, but yeah. It's an unfortunate situation for Roman. Now, this brings us to the other...
Hold on. I want to address Witt's question in the chat room.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She wanted to know if we were surprised at the legends coming out of the woodwork to publicly encourage Roman Reigns. No, because if you look at them, they all have legends deals, so they want to come out and support the guy. WWE is all about making Roman Reigns the man, and he's young. They know. Like, guys, I saw, like, Bret Hart. Bret Hart knows the struggles Roman Reigns is going through, because Bret Hart went through it. Scott Hall has gone through it, because they both have been on top of WWE.
They get it.
They get it.
I mean, I'm not surprised by it. I actually find it really sweet that a lot of them are, even though, you know, you don't know how sincere it is, obviously. I always take it with a grain of salt. But I think it's very sweet that you have people like Mick Foley and Scott Hall and a couple others going to Roman Reigns and saying, look, you screwed up. But by, you know, it's like, I think Eric Bischoff said it where it's like, look, you screwed up. But by admitting it and owning it, that makes you a better person.
Right. When you own something, when you own up to it, you will be received positively. If he just blew it off and was like, oh, no big deal, whatever, and didn't admit he screwed up, then a lot of people would look badly about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like basically if he had behaved the way that Adam Rose did, which there wasn't anything in retrospect wrong with what Adam Rose did, it's the way that he sort of reacted and handled the situation that I think rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. If Roman had behaved like that, I don't think people would be as forgiving, but it's something of Roman. It's like the suspension came out and Roman was on Twitter in less than, I think, an hour.
Less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, less than 10 minutes. And he apologized and he owned it almost immediately after the story hit. So it's like you could, that was all planned. They told him basically, look, we're making the announcement at this time. If you want to say anything, that would be the time to say it.
He was, he was backstage. They told him. He left. And he made his announcement. That was sort of the deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, good on him. I don't really have a dog in the fight. Like I said, I'm disappointed that he did get suspended, but I understand that he's human. I understand he felt he needed to do something to stay on top. He's not the first. He will not be the last. But I would say that he's learned his lesson from it.
Oh, he definitely has. It brought up one interesting thing. What did they do? Why did they, if they knew they were suspending him, why did they book the main event like they did for Battleground? Which I felt really, really weird. It's like, if you're going to suspend him, why do it? And apparently because he'll be back on the 20th, which is a couple days before Battleground, so he'll be able to do it. It's weird that they're going to actually, do this big Shield three-way and sort of not have him involved in the build-up. It takes away of it for a little bit. But in the end, I guess they want to sort of still go forward with the plan since they have the brand split coming up in a few weeks. So, I don't know. It's just it's a weird situation with all involved.
It's bad timing for him to get suspended now because they're continuing to push him. They're continuing to get him to SummerSlam. The Shield three-way was supposed to be a big storyline, I think, for the summer, and he got suspended. In the end, I think Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are going to be enough to sell the match if the match isn't already sold. I don't know how much Roman could really add to it, and that's not to be mean or that's not to slight him in the least. It's just between Ambrose and Rollins, I think that's enough because with those two there and their mic skills and their individualness, because I don't know what else to say, Roman's just kind of left there standing there.
With their unique styles.
Yeah, with their unique styles, thank you. Roman is just kind of left standing there a lot of the times, brooding and looking mean, which is what happened in The Shield. And that's fine. That works great for Roman. But I think it's going to be okay with just Dean and Seth.
Oh, the build-up will be fine. It's just sort of big thing. You're building it up, and it's like, oh, he's not there. Okay. All right. That's fine. That's cool. But, I don't know. It's just missing something. We'll talk more about it in the weeks coming, because probably more will be coming out. But I don't expect the title to go back on Roman Reigns anytime soon.
Yeah, I would say that's a bad precedent for the folks in the back to have him win a title directly after coming off a suspension like that. It sets a very, very, very bad image to the other wrestlers, especially the younger workers, where it's like, oh, well, Roman got suspended and he came back and he won the WWE Championship. Well, if he did that, then I'm okay to do that too. That's kind of what that message sends. So, I would say I'm cool with him keeping Roman in the match because they've planned it. This is what they want to do. They knew it when they announced the match on Monday. They knew he was going to get suspended. They made the match anyway because they timed it out. They realized he would be back in time. So they just went ahead and did it. But I would say that Roman is not going over in this match because if you look at the history, you kind of got to eat a little crow when you come back from suspension. So
yeah, you do have to kind of eat a little bit of crow. And just to knock another news item off the board, we talked about his suspension and coming back on the 20th. July 19th, live on SmackDown, will be the WWE draft. So he will be missing that show, and he was supposed to be one of the centerpieces for the draft and still will be, but he will not be appearing on the July 19th SmackDown.
He might be via satellite.
No, you don't put up. He's suspended. He cannot appear on television.
.com.
They could probably do a .com interview the next day with him.
Yeah, but yeah.
For the actual live show, he will not be a part of it on July 19th.
So he's missing a lot.
He is missing a lot.
But somebody else who's missing a lot, because Roman Reigns was not the only person to get suspended this week.
And not be on SmackDown.
Oh my god. So I woke up Friday morning, right? I go to work. I get there. What's the first thing I see, you know, aside from my normal work? Jerry Lawler arrested. What?
So what?
What? I sent it to him. Turns out Jerry Lawler got arrested for getting in a fight with his girlfriend. Apparently she was supposedly drunk. They were fighting. A gun was involved. Nobody really knows what happened. They have Jerry's side of the story and they have her side of the story. There was physical contact. Nobody was hit. It was more they just were touching each other kind of thing. But basically, Jerry either implied or he told her to go kill herself with the gun. That's a rumor. Nobody really knows if it's true.
There was a gun.
There was a gun. Nobody knows how the police got called.
The police were called because she called and hung up.
That's right. She called and she hung up. So the police went over there, arrested them both, which I believe is protocol, took them both in for domestic charges, and WWE, being very, very strict in regards to domestic violence, immediately suspended Jerry Lawler until it's all sorted out one way or another. Lawler does have a court date this coming week. Or no, he had a court date.
They had a court date, and they have to be apart till July 1st until they have another court date.
Yes, which is next week. And
is it really? Oh, yeah, it is. Next Friday.
Yeah, it's next Friday. So he does have court date next week. Hey, got it right.
Hey, there you go.
But yeah, so they do have a restraining order on each other. They cannot see each other. They cannot speak to each other. The cops are collecting information since the charges have not been dropped. I would say the police have more than what they're letting on to have.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they cannot at this point figure out who was the actual instigator of the incident, whether it was her or whether it was him. So I don't know if anything is going to really come of this, because they can't locate that instigator, but a not so happy situation for Jerry Lawler.
No, this is not a good situation for Jerry Lawler. The last time he left the company was with his then wife, Stacy Carter, aka the Cat, back in 2001. Now he's going to be probably put in a position where he may have to be fired from this company, which would be a shame to see him fired from the company. I know there's a lot of people who dislike him for many various reasons, but to see him
all
being
valid.
All valid, but to see him being fired, it kind of hurts the legacy that he has. But you would rather see him retire than be fired, if that makes sense.
You know, honestly, I will say out of everything Adam Rose did, because he is the benchmark for all this, that one of the things he did right was asking the company for his release and getting in front of it before they fired him. And that might be something that, depending on which way this goes, Lawler could retire from the company before they have to release him. And I'm sure that has been discussed.
That may be the classy way to do things.
Yeah, where it's basically he's going to have he'll have the court date on July 1st, and that's where they're going to figure out what's going to happen, whether Memphis is going to pursue this, or whether they're going to drop the charges. And if the Memphis police decide they are going to pursue this, and they are going to take this to trial, then that's probably the point where Jerry Lawler retires from WWE for the time being. Now, he can always come back if he's not convicted, but I would say he goes out, gets in front of it, leaves, takes care of it, and then either comes back or stays retired. Because I think he's under a Legends deal now, right?
Who, Lawler?
Lawler.
No, he's under an employment contract.
Okay, so he's under an employment contract. I wouldn't be surprised is if he's not convicted or if they don't pursue this, if he just doesn't go under a Legends deal.
A Legends merchandise deal will probably be what ends up happening if he's deemed to retire from the WWE.
But yeah, that would be the smart thing to do. Now there's the other thing that he rides this out, he stays suspended, and, you know, they do end up firing him if he's convicted. Now, mind you, the firing is all contingent on if he gets convicted. He is not convicted, or he is not named as an instigator in this incident, and he's actually named the victim, then I believe they will lift the suspension.
Yeah, once the court decides everything, yeah.
Yeah, once it's all ironed out and they figure out what happened, they're going to move forward and they'll go from there. But it's a very up in the air situation. I mean, I would say that Lawler's comments about the situation haven't helped.
No. Anytime you open your mouth, they really don't help in any shape or form.
He's been a little cavalier about it. It's like he'll sit there and he'll be like, oh yeah, you know, she was drunk and we always get into it when she was drunk and it's just, he's been very, I guess, flippant about it is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
So, interesting to see how it goes, but the big news just keeps coming. Yay! By the way, you're sending the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for listening to us. Another arrest, in quotations, because it's really not an arrest, came out this past week where Paige was detained Monday night by Las Vegas PD for, I guess, erratic behavior.
So, there's been a lot of stories, including the word arrested, because there's pictures of her floating around in handcuffs on the internet. So, the people over at MLW spoke to Del Rio, and he confirmed to them this story. After Money in the Bank, Paige and Del Rio, who are dating, if you don't believe that, go to her Instagram right now. There's a picture of her two favorite people, his dog and him, with her in the truck, on her Instagram right now. Went to watch a show in Vegas. While there, a drunk couple started heckling both people. ADR called security and got the couple ejected from the venue. They continued to enjoy the show. After the show, the couple waited outside for ADR and Paige and caused some trouble. Police were called to the scene and went through the routine of cuffing people to calm everything down, and then they took Paige to an ambulance to ensure that she hadn't been attacked or anything, which she didn't. After that, ADR and Paige were free to go. They told management, and everything is what it is at this point. Police were there already for another incident, so they came over and took care of this incident. And it was sort of, okay, she's being put in handcuffs, oh my god, big story. She was drunk, she's young, in Vegas, things happen. We all seen Paige on Total Divas, we've documented on the Rack Extra Total Divas. She gets a little crazy when she's drunk, no surprise. So, things happen. She's very loud, she's very opinionated, and when people are coming at her, she comes right back at them. So that's sort of what happened there. Will she be in trouble from WWE? No. Everything will be fine. Business is as usual, and you go from there.
Yeah, I mean, she was detained, she was handcuffed for everybody's personal safety, because again, when you have an altercation of verbal kinds and the police get involved, if people get louder, if people get more aggressive, then the police will handcuff you and detain you to kind of cool you down as a way to defuse the situation. It can be confirmed this was not done for Total Divas because there were no cameras present at the time that the incident occurred. Despite what people were saying. This was just Paige and Del Rio having a private time together. They went to go see the show together, enjoy themselves while they're in Vegas, and it just blew up. Paige, there is no heat on Paige for the incident. There is no heat on ADR for the incident. Like Rock said, they explained it to management. Management is cool with it, and everybody has moved forward. Also, the rumors regarding being injured at Money in the Bank are false.
Well, he was probably banged up, but he's not injured.
Yeah, he's not hurt. I don't think he went to the hospital.
No, he worked SmackDown, so he is okay.
Yes. So, an almost blame Brent, but not quite. So, those are the major stories of the week. We're now just going to kind of sort of go through some quick notes real quick for WWE before we jump over to TNA. WWE and Loot Crate have signed a deal. There goes my money. Damn it.
It's going to be a bi-monthly Loot Crate featuring WWE products.
Of course it is.
So they're not going to kill you every month, just every other month.
Yeah, just every other month. Yay!
I'm actually halfway thinking of getting it.
Yeah, I at least want to get the inaugural one just to kind of see what it is.
Yeah, it's sort of like, this sounds kind of cool. I want to just see what, depending on the price, I want to see what they offer.
Yeah, I want to see the price, but yeah, it's like, okay, let me think about this, because Loot Crate puts out some nice stuff.
They do. So, it's cool that WWE is involved with them.
They're getting hip!
Yeah, so it'll be out later this summer.
Yay! See, John Cena will be co-hosting the 2016 Teen Choice Awards with Victoria Justice on July 31st, so tune in for that.
So that's now two award shows he is hosting in the span of a month.
Look at him.
Because he's doing the ESPYs middle of July and at the end of the month, the Teen Choice Awards on Fox.
Oscars, here he comes.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, do it. Emmys, Oscars, Tonys, whatever. Sign John Cena up. Looking forward to seeing how he does, because Teen Choice and ESPYs are two different animals, so he'll be a little bit more goofy, and because of his show American Grid, it makes sense for him to be involved with the Teen Choice Awards.
Yep. By the way, Hiwit, let's see, it was announced that Seth Rollins, or I shouldn't say announced, because I don't think it's been 100% confirmed, but it's been confirmed.
Yeah,
it's a little weird.
It's confirmed. They don't want to confirm it because it's a surprise, but he's in the movie.
He's been retweeting stuff about it. It's confirmed. Seth Rollins is going to be in Sharknado 4.
Go ahead.
He's playing himself with sharks.
Yeah. Which comes out, I want to say July 4th. I want to say July 4th.
So wait, did he already shoot it?
Yeah. He already shot the cameo. He has a small little cameo.
Okay, alright. Does he get eaten by a shark? Do we know?
I told you, I don't think he gets eaten by a shark.
Is it named Dean? We're naming the shark Dean if he gets eaten by a shark. I'm just saying.
Oh, God. Naming things again, Jesus. I'm trying to confirm the date of it as we move on.
As we move on, another rumor that is circulating is that of WWE and TNA legend Kurt Angle possibly making his return to WWE. He's made several allusions to the fact that he will be coming back. WWE has denied the rumor, saying that is not the case at all. Nobody's quite sure what to believe on it. But as we know, WWE will deny things up until somebody debuts. So it could be very possible that Angle is coming back, but it also could be possible that he's not. In the past, WWE has not shown an interest in bringing him back, but with the brand split, I think that interest has changed, as they have been speaking to past talents and with the idea to bring them back for the brand split.
Yeah, one, Sharknado July 31st. Two, yeah, Kurt Angle went talked to Mark Madden in a Pittsburgh radio interview and sort of let it all out. But I guess he talked to him. This was before they signed the brand split, or at least publicly announced the brand split. They had interest in bringing him back. WWE has kind of put it out there that it's not going to happen. Again, I think he opened his mouth and probably shot himself in the foot. They probably wanted a surprise. Apparently there's a surprise that was supposed to happen this week with someone coming back, but they did not come to terms with the person, so it did not happen. Kurt Angle is not coming back yet. It would be interesting, and if they were to bring him back, he needs to have the Brock Lesnar schedule, where he wrestles maybe twice a year.
Taker schedule,
twice a year. Makes a couple appearances here and there. Yeah.
See, I wouldn't mind seeing Angle come back and work with, like, American Alpha.
Which is one thing he wants to do.
Which is one thing that he really wants to do. I would be completely on board for that. And you have Angle as more of a mentor or a manager, or you even have come back and be GM of SmackDown or Raw. You put him in a more non-wrestling role where he can wrestle if he wants to, but he really shouldn't be wrestling at this point with his neck and everything. So it might be easier to have him just in, like, a manager role.
Right. He can get physical, but he doesn't need to wrestle.
Yeah, and then that way when he does wrestle, it is special, where you can build the story to Kurt Angle getting back in the ring one more time. Because I think he at least wants to do it one more time in WWE. I don't believe he wants to do a full-time schedule.
No, he can no longer do a full-time schedule.
So it's like, if he wrestles every once in a while, I think that's great. And that's probably all he really needs to do.
For him, and he sort of put this out there since he left TNA, he would like to wrestle like 5 to 6 times a year. That's doable. I think in WWE that's a little too much. You maybe do 3 to 3 times a year. At the big three, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, and Survivor Series.
And maybe Rumble.
Maybe Rumble, so you do 4.
Yeah, I would hit the big 4 and get physical the rest of the time, and that's all you really need to do.
Yeah, so that's how I would do it with him.
Yeah, have him be a feature performer. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But, yeah, like I said, may come to pass, may not come to pass. Nobody's really sure what's going on with it at this point. And now we go to...
Let's stay on WWE.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because we were talking about pay-per-views and rumors and everything else, because that's what we have tonight, is all rumors, apparently. The WWE pay-per-view schedule dropped.
Yeah, it leaked online that there's a new pay-per-view schedule starting after SummerSlam, which includes the following shows. Backlash, which will be a network exclusive because they couldn't get on pay-per-view in time, which will be a SmackDown brand-only show, which will happen on 9/11.
Bad booking. Bad booking to have Backlash on 9/11. Anyway, continue.
The return of Clash of the Champions. No longer Night of Champions, it's Clash of Champions. On 9/25, which will be a Raw show. No Mercy returns on 10/9, which will be SmackDown. Hell in a Cell, which will be a Raw show. Survivor Series will be dual brand in Hell in a Cell was at 10/30. 11/20 would be Survivor Series, and that would be a 4-hour show.
God.
Tables, Ladders, and Chairs would be a SmackDown brand show on the 4th of December. And Roblox make its second appearance on 12/18 for a Raw brand show. It's a lot of shows. That's a lot of shows, but to be fair, that's one less show than there was last year.
It's still a lot.
Still a lot. I'm not disagreeing with it because me and Omega were talking, and we'll talk more about this Sunday. We looked at the WTR schedule, what it would be. It would be like, oh, 10, 11, 10, 11. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ, there's a lot of shows.
Yeah, I think they've spaced them a little differently than they have in the past.
Before, they spread them out a lot.
Whereas these are closer together because it's like you have to do Raw and you have to do SmackDown, then you have to do Raw and then you have to do SmackDown, and hey, joint pay-per-view. So we're going back to that schedule again where it's that I, you know, one of my issues with the brand split. Anyway, that you have a lot more pay-per-views, and they're amping up the pay-per-views and the network specials, and to me, it feels like they're not going to be as important.
But at the same time, they could be.
But they could be. I mean, I'm willing to give it a chance, but as we all know, it's well documented on the show. I'm not a fan of the brand split.
It will all depend on the matchups. If they can get strong enough main events for all these shows, then the brand split will be fine. If you can get people interested in main events, that's all you need to sell them on.
That's all you need to sell them on. It's the first year that's crucial, and then you need to mix it up on the rosters, and they either need to do another draft, or they just need to do trades, or they just need to move people around, so that way it doesn't get stagnant, because that was the problem the last time, is eventually it just got really stagnant, and there was no movement, and there was no cross-brand, and it's like, we really need the cross-brand. I think, or, you know, just movement for new matches and new everything to keep that interest. Because if, you know, you see Randy Orton and The Undertaker for the 50th time, yeah, it's good, but I've seen it.
Just like we've seen Corbin and Ziggler for 50 times, which we'll talk about later in the show.
Oh, Lord Jesus, they need to break those two apart, please! I love Ziggler, I love Corbin, I can't take this.
Split them apart in the draft, please.
Please. Keep the Wyatts and the New Day together. Split Corbin and Ziggler.
New Day Fall.
Oh, I'm so proud of Boo Boo. And one last real big WWE note before we jump over to TNA. By the way, again, this is The Rack on WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much to listening to us. We're still in the news because we have a lot. We have Cruiserweight Classic updates. Daniel Bryan and Mauro Ranallo will be hosting the Cruiserweight Classic, which is amazing. It's going to be airing on September 14th in a 2-hour live special.
No. See, you're just reading my notes. Cruiserweight Classic begins July 13th. It will culminate with a 2-hour live special on September 14th.
Where is the July 13th?
We've already announced that part. Weeks ago.
You did not put that in the format.
And there'll be a Bracketology special on July 6th, hosted by Corey Graves, Daniel Bryan, and Mauro Ranallo. They did a Facebook Live thing earlier today. I urge everyone to go check out at some point where they introduced you to all the competitors, including Mustafa Ali, who replaced Zumbi in the Cruiserweight Classic because he did not make weight.
He ate too many sandwiches.
He had too many sandwiches. Daniel Bryan is going to be cool in this one. Him and Ranallo, just in the little bit I heard of them on the Facebook Live, look like they're going to have great chemistry. Daniel Bryan's very excited. This is the whole look to the Cruiserweight Classic is completely different than anything WWE has done in a long time. They even created new turnbuckles for this whole event.
Yeah, I mean, the set looks really cool. We got to see it tonight on the opening ceremonies, which is so cute that they had opening ceremonies for it.
Yeah.
But you got to see a look at the at Full Sail, which they've made it look completely different from NXT, which is great. They've put effort and time into this to make this feel big and special and important, which is what you want.
Is it being treated like a sporting event rather than a television show?
Yes.
Which is completely different. This isn't completely different from what WWE does. And I'm excited to watch the Cruiserweight Classic starting on the 13th.
It should be really exciting.
That's going to be a really, really wrestling heavy week that week. Because that's going to be coming off of, just everything. We're going to have Raw, SmackDown, and then the following week, we're going to have the pay-per-view, and then, yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in that week. Whew.
There is a ton of stuff going on in that week.
Which we'll talk about one of the matches that will air before the Cruiserweight Classic when we get to NXT, because that was the one other thing that's big on that one.
Yeah. Moving on to a couple quick UFC notes. Paige Van Zandt has a fight booked on August 27th, and therefore she has decided to forego any opportunities with WWE and an appearance in the upcoming Kickboxer sequel to focus on her training for Beck Rawlings. So best of luck to Paige Van Zandt as she prepares for that night. And, well, CM Punk's debut has been announced. What?
Wait, what?
Yes, the long-awaited UFC debut, where it's been delayed and delayed and delayed, of CM Punk has finally been announced.
Yes, it will take place in September, and it will be in the place he walked out of the night after the Royal Rumble in Cleveland, Ohio. So he's returning to the scene of the crime. Walked out the wrestling door and walking in the UFC door for UFC 203.
I can't decide if that's karma or irony.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, that's just...
That's the best way to put it. Yes, it's karma and irony, yeah. All in one on that one.
Yeah, Cleveland is finally gonna get the CM Punk fight that they, you know, got screwed out of when he left WWE, so... Yay?
Yes, Punk will actually be fighting someone other than 12-year-old haters on Twitter.
I may actually have to watch this fight.
I have an idea. We'll talk about it at some point.
Okay. Alright. But yeah, so best of luck to Punk as he makes his UFC debut. Now we're going to jump over to TNA. But to our friends over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. So we have two quick stories, then I promise we're going to go to break because I know it's a lot of news. Sorry, it's a lot. TNA announced that they have signed Chelsea Green from Tough Enough fame, so congratulations to her.
So that means they have two Tough Enough alums on the roster.
Whoop, whoop. And then they re-signed Abyss, Rosemary, Zema Ion, Al Snow, Rockstar Spud, and Trevor Lee.
They were unable to re-sign Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, EC3, and Drew Galloway. They're still under contract, but they were unable to put them under the new deals, which is what all those superstars have been put under.
They'll get them, or they'll leave, whichever comes first. I'm so positive.
Yeah, I'm very positive. The Hardys don't really want to sign a new contract because they like being able to dictate what they do and make their own money rather than share it probably with TNA.
I can respect that wholeheartedly. Yeah. Plus, I mean, I think Jeff Hardy has shown an interest in wanting to go back to WWE because, you know, that's
clearly,
what you want.
Clearly.
That's what you want Jeff Hardy talking about when he's promoting Slammiversary is going back to WWE and getting that last payday. Matt Hardy, I think he's happy where he is, but I think he probably wouldn't mind going back to WWE for one more payday, especially now that the baby's in the picture if they stop tossing the baby.
Don't toss the baby.
Don't. Kick the baby.
Don't snitsky the baby.
But yeah, I would be curious to see if the Hardys stay. Galloway, they'll keep him. I think he's completely happy where he is.
Yeah, they just want to get him under the new contract. That's all.
Yeah. So they're just trying to restructure the deals a little bit. But the Hardys could be a question mark.
Yeah, so be interesting to see. We'll keep you updated. Courtesy of TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans.
But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening.
Yeah, I say that might be a good idea. Before we go to break, I would like to mention, remember, get your questions in for Ask the Rack, which will be next Thursday night, right here on the Rack, live. We're doing Ask the Rack. Submit your questions now to MediaWildTalkRadio.com. Tweet us, Facebook us, Tumble us, snail mail us, do it in person. Either way, get them done. Ask the Rack next week, right here on the Rack.
We don't get questions, we'll cry. So you're listening to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stage.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hi, I'm Barbie Blank, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com or to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And also a shout-out to the fine folks over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com and everybody listening to us at WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for joining us. If you just tuned in, you missed our exceptionally long news segment, so sorry about that. Go back, listen to it when the archive comes out in the next few days. But now, the music of Bailey signifies one thing. We are talking NXT.
Ty Dillinger took on Oney Lorcan. That's the name. Back and forth, they put over the announcers where the slump that Ty Dillinger has been in. There's a big uppercut by Oney, but couldn't get the pin because Ty went underneath the ropes. Corner uppercuts by Oney, but then Stan kicked Oney. But only for a two count. Oney shoved Ty out of the corner, hit him with a running backbuster for the win. Oney Lorcan with the surprise win over Ty Dillinger. The slump continues.
Ty man! You gotta channel your tenness. I mean, come on, you're losing that perfect ten status. I don't think he wants that.
You can't lose to Oney Lorcan.
He can't lose to Oney Lorcan. I mean, come on, what is the name Oney Lorcan, dude?
That's a name. That's what it is. It's a name. We had Austin Aries said he was backstage. He went and said he wants to prove his greatness and become the NXT champion. Says you don't lose greatness after one match. He is focused more than ever to prove that how great he is and become NXT champion, interrupted by No Way to Jose, and basically told him, you need to stay positive. We'll get more into that here in a bit. But we have some good news.
We do?
Bailey was cleared.
Yay!
And she's back in the ring tonight. We'll talk about that in a minute. No Way Jose took on Josh Woods. Basically, No Way to Jose was in control. Jose fought off attacks from Woods. Hit his new spinning full Nelson slam for the win. I like that he's changing up his finisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Jose was dancing. Aries comes out. Says, you're defined by victories. Fans chant, Aries sucks. Aries says, you're defined by your defeats. Aries says, he was defeated at TakeOver. Says, he's not making any excuses. Aries wonders what he could learn from No Way Jose, because he was trying to teach him things. Aries says, he can learn one thing, and that's how to have fun. So he thanked him for that. For reminding him who he is and who he has to be. So Aries leaves, but Jose says, No. We're gonna Hulk Hogan this stuff. You're gonna dance with me. Dance. So you see Jose dancing, and Austin Aries is sort of getting in his little groove, and his legs start to move, and his hips start to move, and his arms start to move, and they start to dance, and they dance all around in the ring, up the ramp, over the announce table. They're just dancing the night away. Austin Aries is great at white man dancing.
He's got some moves, let me tell you. Those hips. Mm-hmm. Yeah, buddy.
And then Austin Aries attacked No Way Jose.
Damn it, Austin, this is why we can't have nice things.
Beat him down, throw him around ringside, start to leave, went back, put him in the last chancery on the ramp, and choked him out. Good little angle.
Good little angle, very nice, very well done, but Austin, be nice with the other kids.
It's clearly showing he's a heel.
I know. And heel Austin is so much more fun.
So William Regal was meeting with Shinsuke Nakamura about the whole thing with Finn Balor. And Finn said, left a message saying, let it happen. So, in 3 weeks, which would be, July 13th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Right before the Cruiserweight Classic, it will be Shinsuke Nakamura versus Finn Balor.
And the IWC just implodes in on itself. Fanboys everywhere are screaming and shouting with glee and joy. It's going to be like the guy in South Park covered all over himself in a certain substance by the time this is over.
So if you are in the Florida area tomorrow, get the Full Sail University because it's being taped tomorrow.
Get your tickets now.
There's still some on StubHub, I think.
And if you get to go,
enjoy.
Enjoy, because I'm kind of jealous. I wouldn't mind seeing that live, but yeah, Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Holy crap.
That's a sign, though, that one is coming up. If not
Finn,
both.
It's time.
Yeah, it's time, and it happens to be right before the draft. Imagine that.
Convenient!
Convenient timing. So Blake storms in, says he's a top star and should be treated like one. And well, when Regal wasn't doing so, Shinsuke says, I will honor your request tonight by the King of Strong Style.
Go Shinsuke. Shin Shin.
So we'll talk about that here in a minute. Bayley took on Deonna Purrazzo. Bayley was in control. Deonna had a couple near falls. Bayley hugged up, hit the corner elbow, and the Bayley to belly for the victory.
That's how you come back, Bayley. That's how you do it.
And what was a good promo? Carmella was backstage. She was asked about winning last week. She said she wants to be in the middle of the division. She wants to be the face of the division. She wants to be the NXT Women's Champion, which brought Alexa in. So she's nobody without her boys. Says she made Blake and Murphy. Carmella called her an accessory, or called Carmella accessory. Says she will be the next NXT Women's Champion because she deserves it. Alexa says she was never pinned in the triple threat. Carmella says the title will be hers, and she won't let Alexa get in her way. And you just had resting Alexa face all up in this whole thing. And I thought Alexa was really good in this. I thought Carmella held her own. This was good.
She had resting bliss face?
Resting bliss face, yeah. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. We had a hype video for Samoa Joe. We looked back at Nia and Asuka. We had an Authors of Pain video. It was announced American Alpha returns next week.
After their beatdown from the Authors of Pain?
Yes. Convenient, you know, they do the Authors of Pain video and then announce American Alpha's return. Imagine that.
Oh my god, it's like somebody planned it.
We had Nia Jax versus Liv Morgan. Nia squashed Liv.
Poor Liv. But on the upside, Carmella versus Alexa Bliss next week.
That should be a lot of fun.
That should be a lot of fun.
So it then brought us to Shinsuke Nakamura versus now back to being Buddy Murphy. And all I wrote for this one, Buddy Murphy regretted his life choices.
Severely regretted his life choices.
That's all I can say about that one. Shinsuke won. With the Kinshasa.
Shinsuke just kind of sort of, you know, was like, no, and just kicked the crap out of him.
This wasn't the greatest episode of NXT, but it got people on the show, and we're building to Shinsuke Finn in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think that was the main goal, was to set up Shinsuke and Finn. And it's a transitional episode, we all know that. I think they're trying not to run any big storylines with NXT right now until after the draft, when they know who's coming up and who's not.
Yeah.
Because it's a rumor that, like, what, 5 or 6 people are going to get pulled?
If not more.
If not more. So, yeah, they could raid the roster. So we'll just have to see what happens, but I think that does it for NXT. So, when we come back, because yes, there's more. It's the marathon show. We're going long tonight, y'all. We are going to be talking about this past Sunday's Money in the Bank. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and if anybody cashed in. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number 2.
That's currently number 7. It was number 2 at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gift bang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing up at the party. Oh, you've done the battle here.
That's the horse you have, that horse. Not the pelvic thrust. That Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Right over you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
To The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Also, if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate you tuning in. And, well, if you just tuned in, you missed NXT, you missed the epic long news segment, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I
used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Baron Corbin. Mojo Rawley. I need to post on my Instagram. If someone makes me a sweet fan art, I'll post it and tag you. Thanks, stay hyped. Baron Corbin. I got it. Post a picture of smiling poo. Now feel free to post.
Oh, that's a crappy thing to do to someone.
Baron, that's so shitty. Joshua Shoot.
Hold on. I was trying to be PG about it. You just went right for it.
He put a picture of poo! It's the same poo that Enzo Amore has on his trunk, or his overall things. What do you want from me? Leave me alone. We're in the third segment. We're not PG in the third segment. Let's see. Heel Ziggler and Baron Corbin, that's what my wife and I call a bathroom break match. I'm bored with their dues. To which Baron Corbin replies, your Xbox doesn't count as a wife no matter what you name it. Typical IWC member. Rollins beats Reigns clean. Ambrose becomes WWE champion. Sets up potential Shield triple threat match. Best start complaining anyway. Reigns loses clean, check. Rollins beats Reigns, check. Ambrose becomes WWE champion, check. F this, I need something to complain about. Hey, at WWE, you've ruined my shtick. I'm supposed to complain about boycotting the network tonight. How can I do that now? Obviously in reference to Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawley. Hey, at Zack Ryder, I think it's about that time. Baron Corbin. It wouldn't help. And finally, Big E. New Day's Fall sounds like a resort and spa, guess what will be required to sign waivers that grant us permission to touch on your body.
New Day Falls. New Day Falls.
Y'all can make your jokes all you want, but you've got a very angry co-leader coming after you.
Just, so, is that all the tweets you have?
That's all the tweets I have.
Really? You did not get the two tweets?
What two tweets?
The Bray Wyatt Luke Harper tweet?
Oh, right. Got those. Sorry. Right. Luke Harper,
No. I just would like to point this out. She forgot about these two. Come on.
Did you pick them up?
No. But I've been sitting here waiting for them. Figured they'd be the first two you read.
No. I forgot to grab him. But I know him by heart, because I've seen him enough on Tumblr. Luke Harper, miss you. Bray Wyatt, I know. Ship. Freaking confirmed. Stop flirting with each other on the internet. It's just not nice. Poor Bray. Luke just needs to come back.
Whit goes in chat room. Linz, how could you?
It's been a busy week. Okay? Work's been crazy. I didn't have time to go grab my tweets like I normally do.
So John Cena tweets, you can't cease and desist me. New shirt available at WWE Shop. Peps Blue Ribbon. Cena always kicks out at 2.
Yes.
3-man booth. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are the Wolverine and Sabretooth of wrestling. They fight because they must. Keep it 5-star. Look at Bray Wyatt and his summer body. Hashtag Raw. Keep it 5-star. Uh-oh. The new Bray is happening. Which then puts a picture of that floats around of the new Bray, which is Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan in the New Day outfits in WWE 2K16. It's a thing. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Keep it 5-star. The Miz eating quail? Looks like he has a new challenge. And it's a picture, remember, of Quail Man from Doug?
Yeah.
Yeah, picture of Quail Man. Dating ourselves. Tyler Morrison. My car has this great sunroof that makes empty beer cans disappear.
It's littering.
It's also drinking and driving. AJ Lee, this was like a while ago. Just finished my books. No co-writer, no ghostwriter, just me. Lots of carbs and adorably evil mind. Bailey finally saw the tweet and goes, I'll take 13 copies. AJ goes, I'll personally deliver them and wait inside your apartment until you get home. Don't worry. I don't need a cape.
I need Bailey and AJ to do something together in like the worst way.
Is it raining outside?
No, somebody just like decided to drag race down my street.
Okay. I was like, what the hell was that?
That would be a car, ladies and gentlemen. That would be a car.
Okay. So Austin Hyde, just a random person, tweets to Ryan Reynolds, how would Deadpool handle that shark that's given your wife so much trouble? Ryan Reynolds goes, the Deadpool suit is made from over 22 pounds of thinly sliced pastrami. The answer, in a word, poorly.
But he would try, damn it.
He would try.
Actually, if they make a Deadpool 2 movie, which I think they're going to, they need to put Blake Lively in there somehow.
That would just
give her... They need to get her in there somehow as a cameo or something.
Yeah, that would be great. John Gonzalez, if I understand these rumors, the Sixers are trading all their players for all the other players. Did not happen that way, sadly. Kenny Ducky goes, a Sixers fan exits a Brooklyn bar and heads to the Barclays Center, holding a giant sign. Hinkie 316, and it reads, Hinkie died for our sins. And yes, yes, he did. Someone named Jessica goes, CM Punk injury lines, betting odds, alright? Broken neck, -600. Comic book paper cup, +150. Tattoo recovery, +250. Hot brain, -200. Soup scold, +200. Shattered coccyx, -400. Those are the betting odds for CM Punk injuries for the UFC fight. It's going to be a thing. Richard, to your info. NXT, please team Nakamura and Bayley so the crowd won't know if they want some Bayley or Shinsuke or which song to sing. I kind of want to see them interact together.
It's adorable.
Be amazing. Put them on TV. Put them on TV together once.
They've been doing vines together. It's completely adorable. I'm all for this.
And finally, TNA Creative. WWE Rollins had a short reign. He's used to being short.
Ouch.
And that would be Tweet of the Week.
Burn. Well, speaking of WWE, Seth Rollins, not use his Twitter, we're going to talk about Money in the Bank. Because, well, he had a championship match.
He did have a championship match on this show. To quickly get some things out of the way, there was a couple of interesting moments on the pre-show. Mainly Breezango and their burnt up bodies.
That was nasty.
Their peeling chests.
That was so nasty.
The rubbing of bananas on their bodies.
That was kinky.
Yeah, yeah. So they had a match with Golden Truth. It was just, they were playing up the being burnt thing and Golden Truth won. No real shocker on that one.
Yeah, no real shocker.
But it was fantasy points. Woo, woo. She's looking at me weird. Moving on.
I'm in the lead.
We'll get to why you're in the lead. We'll get there. Jesus, we'll get there. Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
Vegas was very good to me Sunday night.
Dudley Boyz lost to Lucha Dragons. The story of the match was the Lucha Dragons were being bullied by the Dudley Boyz.
Why you gotta bully the Lucha Dragons? It's just not even nice.
That ain't kosher, yo.
That is not kosher.
So the Lucha Dragons picked up the win. Should mention, as far as picks go, I had Golden Truth, you had Breezango. 8-Ball had Golden Truth, and WWE 2K16 had Breezango, so we were all split down the middle on that one.
We were.
Me, you, and 8-Ball had the Dudleys, while 2K16 had the Lucha Dragons. We may move to the main show. It was a very cool opening package to start out the show. Vegas themed. I thought it was pretty well done.
I thought it was really well done. Very interesting.
We then had the Tag Team Championship Showdown. Fatal 4-Way. New Day versus Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains versus the Club. And before we get into it, you had Enzo and Cass do their jokes, and then you had Xavier Woods and the New Day crack some jokes, including him doing this.
How are you doing?
That sold it. That was just like, done. Bye. Done.
Yeah. But the question remains, what in the blue hell was Enzo Amore wearing?
I don't know. His fashion choices are special.
New Day called themselves Elite, taking shots at some Bullet Club, just saying. So, this was a good match. We had an 8-way man brawl at one point. My only complaint was, I thought it was Fatal 4-Way, so four guys would be in the ring at once, but it was only two at a time. Everyone, Big Cass ran wild on everyone for a while. Enzo got rocket launched on the gallows, Big E in English. Air Enzo, two count as Enzo got pulled out, but it looked like, it sounded like, it was a three, but apparently it wasn't a three, because the ref just made the sound when he hit the mat the first time. I don't know. It was awkward. So the entire crowd thought it was a three.
Yeah, everybody thought it was a three. It wasn't. And it was a tad awkward.
Yeah, it was awkward, and then things got really, really interesting. Kofi went for Trouble in Paradise, completely missed, because someone missed their cue. And then it just sort of became weird after that. Whirling Dervish, two count when Anderson broke it off. Anderson Gallus destroyed everyone. Magic Killer in English, two count as Big E broke it up and picked up Anderson on his shoulders. And then Gallus is just standing there, watching it, watching.
With yeah.
His partner be put up on the shoulders. It's like, partner's right there, go save him, go save him. But no, Big Cass is on the apron now. Let me go after Big Cass. He's coming in the ring and we fight. So there's my spot, but my partner... right there, I could save him. Oh, by the way, Alingus is just laying on the mat.
Dead.
Dead for like a minute. When Kofi made the pin after they took out Anderson with the big ending. So New Day retains.
This was a really great match up until the really kind of end.
Like the last 3 minutes, it all fell apart.
Yeah, it all just fell apart.
People missed spots. It just, yeah, everyone, it just sort of, it was there. The finish. Picks went, I went club, you went New Day, A-Ball went club, New Day for 2K16. So it was a split down the middle on that one.
Yes, it was.
We had Jericho, Owens and Del Rio all talking. Jericho was talking about creating Money in the Bank. Owens says Jericho needs a mint. Owens says Jericho won't win tonight. Del Rio called them all dogs. Jericho gave us the gift of Jericho. Owens says he'll stick to water.
Yeah, there was so much snarkiness in this.
Owens is great.
Owens is just that perfect instigator for everything. And then you had Jericho and you had Del Rio, who are the hotheads. It's just, yeah, this is great.
So it was time for Dolph Ziggler to continue his Heartbreak Kid cosplay, gearing up for all the conventions he'll be going to later this year as Shawn Michaels.
He's a fan?
He's a really big fan, but it's really getting really close to Shawn's look. He just replaces hearts with skulls.
Not gonna judge?
I'm just pointing it out.
Oh, I know you're just pointing it out, but yeah, I mean, it's getting really, really, really obscenely close to Shawn. Which, if that's what he wants, that's fine. But it's like, I like Dolph Ziggler, I think he's fantastic, but it's like, dude, you are not Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, you're not the Heartbreak Kid. So, Corbin was in control for a majority. Ziggler would make his comebacks. He would attempt the Fame-Master like 3 times after, and hit it on the 3rd time for a 2 count. And then, Ziggler, being Ziggles, ran really, really fast, almost slipped on the steps, and had to be caught and saved by Baron Corbin as he hit the deep 6, but Ziggler almost really hurt himself on that one.
Yeah, we almost had to blame Brent. We really almost had to blame Brent. He's lucky that Corbin was, like, right there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this, for what it was, because this is the 50 billionth match in this series, it was good. It was not as good as some of the other ones, but it was good.
Yeah, it was. Ziggler got caught on the top rope, got knocked off the top rope. End of days with the finish. Your winner, Baron Corbin.
Go, Corbin, go.
We all took Corbin on that one. Up next, it was Charlotte and Dana Brooke taking on Becky Lynch and Natalya. And I'm just going to read it as you said it. Dana Brooke is Satan's mistress?
Yeah. Yeah, the new gear is interesting. I like Charlotte's red robe. I'm kind of indifferent on the gear. Dana, I'm liking the top. Not sure about the skirt thing that she's trying to match Charlotte with, but the pant, no. The pants are a no. And it's mainly because I don't like pants that lace up on the side. It bothers me because I'm heavily concerned that, like, one little string is just going to break, or the cord that's holding the pants together is just going to go boop, and then everything's hanging out.
Okay, but it's the best look she's had in a while.
Oh, for all the gear that she's had, I think this is on the right track for her getting better. You know, I think this suits her and suits what she's doing the best. But I'm personally not a fan of lace-up pants, but the top is good.
Becky and Natty hit the heart attack, Shades of the Heart Foundation. Charlotte and Dana worked over Natty. Becky got the hot tag, and the crowd was really into Becky Lynch on the hot tag and taking out both Charlotte and Dana with a double dropkick from the top rope for a two count. Double suplex, Charlotte on her feet. Natty would be taken out by Charlotte. Charlotte used the ropes to get a two count. Sharpshooter, Dana makes a save. Becky gets thrown into Natty. We have natural selection. Charlotte and Dana pick up the win. And then poor Natty. She's upset, distraught about the loss. Becky tries to console her. And then bam! Natty attacks. Natty lays out Becky Lynch.
Natty. Natty, come on. Really? Why you gotta hurt Becky, and why can't we have nice things?
Right. So, heel Natty is going to become a thing. I want to see how it goes. It's got to be better than face Natty.
It's been a long time since Natty's been a heel. I think Beth Phoenix was the last time she was a heel.
Yeah, we went through the catalog in our heads. Like, all right, when was it? When was it? Beth Phoenix, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, she seems to be the perpetual face and the perpetual nice girl. And so, I always felt like Natty worked a little bit better as a heel. Just because she is a bit more aggressive and more tough and more just everything. So her as a heel, especially with the new kind of persona that she's had going on for a while, I'd like to see it. I think all of us have been waiting to see her as a heel, and we just haven't gotten it until now.
So the only thing that got this one right was the 8-ball.
Go 8-ball.
And then we had Dean backstage, and he has no fear, and you know, he plans on winning Money in the Bank. And on a side note, beating up Seth Rollins? It's fun.
He would know.
He would know. He enjoys it. Sheamus took on Apollo Crews. It was an okay match. Back and forth a little bit. Nice moonsault on the outside by Crews. White noise from the top rope. Lazy pin for a two. Allowed Crews to roll him up for the win. Apollo Crews gets it.
I don't think there's any real surprise other than Sheamus here. I mean, it was a good match. It was a very good match, but yeah, I don't think anybody was really surprised that Crews won.
Except for the 8-ball.
Except for the 8-ball. But it had it coming.
It had it coming. I thought it was just okay. There's something off about it.
They don't have the right kind of chemistry, I don't think.
The match did nothing for either man. But what did things for people was John Cena and AJ Styles.
Oh, this was fun.
The crowd was loud for this one.
They were into this. They were so into this. John Cena, AJ Styles. Yeah, it was insane.
You know how special this matchup was? John Cena pulled off a monkey flip.
Yes, he did. He just felt he had to keep up with AJ Styles, so he did a monkey flip.
Cena did You Can't See Me, got punched in the face. AJ Styles, basically, in this matchup, figured out how to counter all the five moves of Doom.
Because that's how you roll?
That's how you should do it. You should know by now how to counter all the five moves of Doom.
And every other movie has, including the monkey flip.
People have to learn to counter to the monkey flip. It's called, hold on!
You take all the fun out of it!
What? You just said how, even the monkey flip, I was giving you a way how to counter it. You hold on!
Just taking all the fun out of it.
Flying forearm to the outside. AJ Styles was locked in the STF, got to the ropes, superplex, countered, AJ got back into the ring, flying for him, no AA, calf killer, Cena called the spot out loud, y'all heard it, Cena would get to the ropes, five knuckle shuffle, but couldn't get much force behind it, as he really didn't do much showboating. He hit the AA for a two count, Cena dies, gets caught into a powerbomb, which was a little awkward. I'm not sure. We may be up to 10 moves, including he almost got all of it, the stunner.
Yeah, he did. He almost did get the stunner.
Yeah. You know, he might have got all of that one. Got caught in the powerbomb. Pele kick, Styles clash for a two count. Slingshot, 450. Not a shooting star, Michael Cole. Learn your flippy floppy moves, which is why Mauro Ranallo is calling the classic, not you.
Thank God.
Because I can only imagine what he would call the moves. But he got countered with the knees up. Styles clash, no AA, no. Pele, no. Forum, no. AA, ref bump. Now finally hits the AA. The club show up. They hit the magic killer. AJ Styles beats John Cena.
A lot of people, I think, are really upset that Styles did not win this clean. But at the same time, it's like he had a fantastic showing through the entire match, and I don't think the club interfering really affects what Styles did in the match that much, because he held his own in the match the entire time.
He was controlling the entire match.
I mean, they did a next level job with this, aside from, you know, Cena calling the calf killer. But this was really well done. They had something to prove with this. They went out there with that mindset that the both of them had something to prove. And this is, if you really think about it, it's the faces of two companies finally coming against each other. This is the dream match. This is AJ Styles versus John Cena. This was a dream match.
And here's the breaking news for you. AJ Styles is good, and he's also a heel.
Yeah.
Heels cheat. So, heels always cheat, just the way it is.
If you thought the club wasn't going to get involved, you're a little naive.
Yeah.
We all saw that a mile away. Like, everybody could see that. You know, it's not difficult to figure out that, okay, you know, yeah, AJ Styles is the heel. He's going to cheat. He's got the club. And they will come out, and they will assist, as it were.
We all had AJ Styles in that one.
Boop, boop.
Then we get to Money in the Bank. Ambrose, Jericho, Zayn, Owens, Del Rio, Cesaro. Cesaro with a somersault onto a ladder on Jericho. Sammy with a big dive on everyone. I love that there are just piles of ladders all around ringside.
Yeah, someone just went to Home Depot and they were like, here!
One of my favorite Kevin Owens spots where he teases running up a ladder, but then just super kicks Sammy, kick Sammy Zayn instead. It's like, I want to do the big move, but no, big old tease.
Fooled you!
And then Chris Jericho, who continues to tell us about all the thumbtacks that were shoved inside him, all 69 of them, wanted to have some payback and fun. So he wanted to hit Dean Ambrose 69 times with the ladder, and he would say 69, 69 every time he would do it.
I don't know whether it'll laugh or cry at that moment, but it was, I'm choosing to laugh.
It was great.
It was fantastic, but it's like, dude, 69 times the ladder, come on. Just go get thumbtacks.
We had uppercut City for a while, until Owen stops Cesaro and threw him into a ladder. We then had Cannonball City. Like, Cesaro did like 15 uppercuts, Owen did like 3 cannonballs, because he got blown up a little bit.
Yeah. Tad.
Yeah. So, there was a spot, Cesaro hit the double stomp on Cesaro into a ladder, which is the one time, like, doesn't have to look like he's stupid holding himself up for the move, even though he's holding himself up for the move, but with the ladder helping him.
But it made the spot look right.
It did.
It made it look devastating, which normally it doesn't, because you can clearly tell the dude's holding himself up, and then he just lets go, and he falls, and that's how they do the move, so the fact that you had the ladder there made it look so much better.
What didn't look like it felt good was the double stomp on the Jericho's back, though.
No.
Del Rio had the arm breaker on the ladder. Owens with a super kick with Del Rio hanging there on the arm breaker. Springboard uppercut off the ropes by Cesaro, which was pretty sweet, I must say.
It was. It was very sweet.
We had Dirty D's. Jericho runs on the ladder. Dean stops him. Code breaker. Backstabber to Owens as he was climbing. Giant swing to Del Rio. Then to Jericho, who swung into a ladder. Dean did his diving elbow from mostly the top of the ladder. We had the KO frog splash onto a ladder on the Sami Zayn. And then to return the favor later, the most devastating Michinoku driver onto the open ladder by Zayn to Owens.
In which Owens just bridged, and it just looked awful.
That one had a hurt.
Yeah, a bit.
But as we found out thanks to the internet, not the first time that's happened.
Won't be the last.
Won't be the last. So then, Sami Zayn climbs, Del Rio smashes him with a red ladder repeatedly, and then we become builders, building things with ladders. One ladder put in one way, another ladder put in the other way, another ladder next to it, we're all standing, we're all fighting, everyone's fighting to get the briefcase. This was a lot of interesting stuff going on. Dirty Deeds on Jericho as he was hanging on the ladder, so Orton DDT style. Kevin stops Sammy, powerbomb onto the ladder by Owens. Owens then screams, "It's mine!" Dean Ambrose stops Owens, and then, where's everybody? They're all down. Wait, is he gonna do it? Yes, he is. Dean Ambrose wins. Money in the bank.
There was so much about this that was great. I mean, they just went out there and they tore the house down. They decided they were gonna steal the show and that was gonna be it. And what was surprising about the Money in the Bank was how late it went on. normally the Money in the Bank is in the early part of the show, and then if they're going to tease the cash in, they tease the cash in at the end. Mm-hmm. They pushed it back to right before the main, which was a curious choice. But they teased us for weeks of, could Ambrose win? Will Ambrose win? We did that whole Ambrose Asylum bit where it's like they started to tease that three-way. And all of us are sitting there going, no, they're not going to do it. It's going on Owens. We all know what's going on Owens. And then there's that moment where Dean Ambrose cashes in, or he wins Money in the Bank. And you just sit there and you're like, holy crap, they actually did it. They actually put it on him.
I had Owens, you had Owens, 8-Ball had Zayn, 2K16 had Owens.
But I had Ambrose in fantasy.
That was a good one right there for you.
That paid off. That was like, what, 20 points right there?
More than that. 20 points just for winning the briefcase and 5 points for the network win. You know. Yeah, 25 points right there.
Yeah. Actually, no.
26 points on that one.
Yeah.
For the appearance.
So yeah, 26 points, one match. Thank you, Dean Ambrose. Thank you so much for that. But yeah, this was great. This was exactly what you expected it to be. And you knew going in it was going to be good just based on everybody that was in the match. The only thing that I really took away from it is, God damn it, we just need to let Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Hell in a Cell and just let them kill each other.
We then had U.S. title, Rusev and Titus O'Neil. They had the unfortunate task of being on after Money in the Bank, and as everyone flipped back over to the basketball game, including myself, it was a big guy match. Rusev crush, Titus taps, Rusev wins.
Rusev taunted his kids.
He did, he walked over to Titus' kids. See, your father, he's a loser. Happy Father's Day! I thought that was awesome, but nothing much really to say about this one.
I mean, the heel on the kids at the end was nice, but it was just a match overall.
I had Rusev, you had Titus, 8-Ball had Titus, Rusev was picked by 2K16. Yes, it's plenty okay with that they beat kill each other. They need to. Forever and ever.
Yes.
And ever and ever. We then had the WWE title match. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins. Loud boos for Roman. And then I wrote for the offense of Seth Rollins for a while. Slap, 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 kick, 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 kick.
Yeah.
So, we had a big dive, and then a flip over the top rope. Big dive, no. Pedigree, no. Superman punch, 2 count. Leaping knee, frog splash. Teased a knee break spot with the flip over, and as we saw, as someone pointed out, if you watch it back, Roman Reigns holds on to Seth Rollins' leg as he flips over.
Yeah.
But Seth Rollins was out to prove his knee was okay. He was a little slower, but was still doing all his big spots. Turnbuckle, super powerbomb, super kicks, for 2 count, superplex roll through into the Falcon Hour for 2 count, hard shots back and forth, Superman punch, no, super kick, turnbuckle powerbomb, but Roman Reigns bounced right back into the Superman punch for a 2 count. Roman went to the outside for a spear, on the outside with a spear, Rollins move, Roman crashed through the barricade, medics come out. At this point, we're wondering, is Roman going to continue? Seth Rollins is like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And he eventually gets Roman in the ring. We hit the pedigree, where we go for the pedigree, there's a ref bump, spear, 2 count. Then Roman is going for the spear, gets countered into a pedigree, kicks out at 2. Ron's like, what do I do now, what do I do now? He hits another pedigree, 1, 2, 3. Seth Rollins wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. We sat here going, wow, they actually did it. They actually put it on Seth Rollins. They beat Roman Reigns clean.
Yeah, everybody, I think, was a little astonished by that.
But if you listen to this show, we flat out told you who was going to win.
Seth Rollins.
We had Seth Rollins winning. Except yeah. For the 8-Ball. 8-Ball was stupid.
Well, I mean, it made sense to have Seth Rollins win. Mm-hmm. You don't bring him back to lose. And Roman can take the loss.
Especially with everything that happened, yes.
And yeah, given everything that happened in terms of the suspension, the loss makes more sense now.
Sort of.
Sort of. You know, I still would say that the drug suspension, or I shouldn't say drug, I keep saying drug, wellness suspension, I'm sorry, did play a factor in that somewhat. I think they had already made their mind up to do it, but this just was like, okay, yeah, we need to do it.
The cash-in was always the plan, whether Rollins who won or what, you know, whoever was getting cashed in on, that was a different story, right, in itself. Speaking of the cash-in, Dean Ambrose, music plays, he jumps Seth Rollins from behind, hits him with the briefcase. Dean was hiding under the ring the entire match. And then, hits Dirty Deeds, 1, 2, 3, I lose my hearing, as Dean Ambrose is the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Didn't really lose my hearing, but she screamed really, really loud.
I was very happy that Dean Ambrose won the title, for a variety of reasons, but mainly for fantasy.
Partly for fantasy, and partly just because it's Dean Ambrose winning the title.
Well, it's that same tease that they did with Daniel Bryan, where it's Dean Ambrose has come so close so many times, and through one reason or another, he's just never been able to get to the top of the mountain. And now, he comes back, and let me go back a minute, because you think about last year at Money in the Bank, when Dean Ambrose was going for the title in the ladder match, and he's going for the title, and he had his fingers on it, and he lost it. And you just remember that moment where Dean Ambrose is, like, practically crying in the ring because he lost. Because he was so close, he was right there, and he couldn't get it. Because Seth just was that much better. And you have him come out, he's got Money in the Bank, he tricks Seth, Dirty Deeds him, and he pins Seth Rollins for the WWE title. It was like, vengeance is so sweet in this instance. It was perfectly done. Roman, on the other hand, did not look very happy.
No, Roman was not happy at all at the outcome of this.
I'm happy that they did this. It's a refreshing change, and this isn't a shot at Roman at all. But I've always wanted to see what Dean would be as a champion. Because Dean just has that more natural swagger to him, especially with a title, that I think Roman kind of lacks a little bit. And so to me, Ambrose is the more interesting champion because he's highly unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do. And that's what makes him fun. That's what makes him interesting.
I would agree with that one.
And he deserves it.
He does indeed deserve it. So overall, she dominated fantasy points.
57 points.
For the week with just Dean Ambrose. Yeah.
Thank you, Dean.
But thank you, Rusev, for crushing Titus, because that put me over Lindsay in Pick'em. I went 6-4. She went 5-5. And it came down to Rusev and Titus. Go, Rusev. Go, Rusev. 8-Ball went 4-6. And WWE 2K16 went 7-3.
God.
So, there you go on that one.
We got beat by a video game.
Get beat by the video game.
How depressing is that?
A little bit depressing. We went with our hearts on some of them.
Yeah, on some of them. Not all of them, but on some of them. But I think that does it for the show. What do you think?
Yes. You have stuff to plug, so plug away. Oh, wait.
I have stuff to plug. I get to beat him to the plugs. Holy crap. So, tune in tomorrow afternoon at some point. Not sure when exactly it's going to be out. Keep an eye out on the Twitter. Keep an eye out on the Tumblrs, on the Facebooks. He'll tell you where to find them all in a minute, because we have our very amazing, awesome, special interview with one Barbie Blank, aka Kelly Kelly, from E's Wags, where we talk to her all about season 1, season 2, and a little bit of wrestling. You don't want to miss it. And next, we have 1 week until our anniversary special. The Rack turns 4. God, it's hard to believe we've been doing this 4 years. So get your questions in for Rack, or for Ask the Rack, if I could talk, because I'm too damn tired. Get your questions in for Ask the Rack. We will answer pretty much anything, provided it is not profane, racist, overly sexual, or anything else. Bad. Really bad.
Whatever Lindsay deems not acceptable, we won't answer. But we'll answer everything else, so with Acer, Ken Kins, Matt, everyone else who listens to the show live or on podcast, get your questions in media@wildtalkradio.com. Tweet us the questions at wildtalkradio, at lindsward, at rockradioshow, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork, facebook.com/rockradioshow. Tumble us the questions if you want to. If you can see Lindsay in person, you can hand her questions if you want to. All that fun.
If you know how to find me.
If you know how to find her, and I think, you know, the one person does know how to find you.
Yes, one person does know how to find me.
But yes, give us the questions, ask the Rack. It's all, we're dedicating an entire segment of the show to you people, so ask us anything you want. If you heard the show in the past when we've done it, you know the deal. Get them in, it's fun. We'll be plugging it all week. So I should continue now?
You should continue.
Saturday Night Midnight Edition is the weirder, it's wacky, it's the unusual. It's TV radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Blame Sub when... Hashtag blame Sub when a celebrity gets arrested. We're going to talk about the rest of the top 100 comedy movies and all the weird stuff we normally do at CB Radio, including Ace Tweets, live midnight-ish, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sunday night is Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein returning with Heartbreak Mike and Neil Mega, covering the week in pro wrestling like there's anything that's happened. Oh, wait, a lot of things have happened, as we've talked about in our extremely long news segment at the beginning of the show. At WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter, WrestleTalkRadio.com to vote in the all-time greatest. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Thursday night for the four-year show, the four-year spectacular, the anniversary show, 4 years and counting. It's the Rack. It's Wrestling Talk, do it our own way or something like that. I'm coming up with a catchphrase. It's the Rack. Tune in, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, .com, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Search it all out, Rock Radio Show. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. All that fun stuff. Leave comments and all that fun stuff. I'm at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're everywhere.
We're taking over.
We're taking over. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling, Action Figure Needs, TNAsylum.net, The Haven for TNA fans, and Gerwick.net. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay. We want to send one big final thanks to E for the interview with Kelly Kelly. Don't forget, tune in, listen, download, tell your friends. We had a lot of fun talking to her. Definitely worth the listen. And get us your questions for Ask the Rack, because we want questions and we'll cry if we don't get them, or we'll just take stuff off Tumblr, whichever comes first. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye! Money makes the world go round.